Subdivision 2006-72, Gregory A. and Charlotte L. Hastings.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Nanticoke Hundred, Sussex County, dividing 14.23 acres into 13 lots. Also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet and a waiver from the forested buffer requirements, being located south of Route 18, also referred to as Route 404, and being 2,700 feet west of Route 528. Now, this application has been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the TAC review of May 23rd of 2007 will be made a part of the record. Previously, each commission member was provided with a revised preliminary plan that was received May 28th of this year, reducing the project to 10 lots. On September 12th of 2007, we received a letter of no objection from DelDOT in reference to the entrance location. May the 18th of this year, we received an approval from the Sussex Conservation District. I've passed down a copy of a letter in opposition that was received from John Cadle. Also provided you with a petition with 34 names in opposition. They'll both be made a part of the record. And on 23rd, which was Monday, we received a packet from the applicant's attorney. It addresses the items listed in section 99-9C. There was also a homeowners association organization and management overview, a site data summary sheet, proposed findings of facts. As you know, the commission has a 10-day rule, but you could waive that if you so desire.
Okay, anything else? I assume that those of you in the back have an interest in this application. Okay, you're welcome to sit back there. We're not going to shout, and if you can't see, that's the way it is. I will be happy to have this turned around so you can see it, but y'all can't see it from back there. Come on up here. It's not church. We're not going to preach. You know, there won't be any angels flying around, so just come on up. And if you would turn that board a little bit so these folks can see it, because we've got it in front of us, and we want them to be able to see what we're talking about. They've waited all this time. You've all been very patient and quiet, too, by the way, which we really appreciate. So we'll try to get to you, and all of you will have an opportunity to speak if you like. So. Okay, the chair recognizes Mr. Weidman. We have an issue with your submission. What happened?
Well, basically, as Mr. Abbott pointed out, I submitted a summary of the application to Planning and Zoning, and I know that it wasn't submitted within the 10 days from the day of the hearing, but to be honest with you, I wasn't in that much of a rush because it represents a summary of what I'm going to be presenting to you here tonight. I can read it word for word if you'd like. I wasn't too concerned about getting it in within this 10 days because it didn't represent any new or substantive information. It just was a summary that I thought would inform individuals who are interested in this application as to what elements we tried to meet. And again, it's something that I can read word for word. It's the substance of my presentation here tonight. If you don't want to accept it, certainly that's within your purview. But what I'm going to do is review it for the record anyway to make a record.
Well, I don't think it's necessary for you to read it word for word. And we did have counsel look at it. Substantially, there's really not much that's not already in the file. So we will permit it. But I do want to remind you that, you know, that's, we have a 10-day rule. We'd like you to observe it, whether you think it's important or not. We do.
So. No, not at all. I want to say that the 10-day rule is there for a reason. One problem was that I wasn't retained until late in the game, and my client has a schedule up in Dover, and I wasn't able to coordinate with him to have him review what I had prepared. I certainly would have wanted to submit it earlier, but I wasn't. What I'm trying to express to you was that I wasn't too concerned about you taking a major issue with it because it wasn't new or substantive information. For example, it wasn't a study.
We agree with that. Yeah, we're all right with that.
Okay. So, all right. So I do apologize.
All right. Enough said about that. Proceed. Mr. Burton's got a bongo lesson here in a half hour, so we need to get moving.
All right. Well, as the commission knows, I'm Dave Weidman of Hudson Jones, Jay Wirk, and Fisher here for the applicants who are Greg and Charlotte Hastings. This is an application for a subdivision of 14 acres into 10 lots. I have Ms. Hastings here with me tonight, who owns the property with her husband, and Rich Siniger, who is an engineer with Century Engineering, who prepared the site plan. I'll begin by setting forth what this application is not, because I know that there are some individuals here tonight who are interested in the application. It is not a proposal for a change in the zone, and to clarify, it is not asking for a waiver of the forested buffer requirement. I think early in this process, there was going to be an application for a waiver, but in light of the fact of the site plan that we've submitted, there is not going to be a request for that waiver. And finally, it's not for 13 lots. It's for 10 lots over 14 acres. Now, as the site data sheet indicates, the total lot size is, or total parcel size is 14.37 acres. And I'd like to point out that the actual lots only comprise a little over half of the entire parcel. This is a very modest, small subdivision in a low-density area, and we've tried to keep it low-density. The open space is going to represent over a quarter of the parcel, and the actual project density is about 0.7 units per acre, which is far below the permissible units per acre under the current subdivision ordinance. Regarding the woodland area, my clients were sensitive to work with their engineers to make sure that they could preserve as much of the woodland area as possible. 40% of that area will be preserved under this site plan. And what I'd like to do is turn to the subdivision summary and hit each of the elements under section 99.9. And I'd like to have my engineer, who is Rich Siniger, come up so that he can expand upon any of the facts that I put into my summary. Now, the first factor under the subdivision ordinance is the integration of the proposed subdivision with the existing terrain. And I'll note that this proposed subdivision is located between two parcels that are partially cleared and partially wooded. A planned 30-foot buffer is in the located in the non-wooded areas that will make this project completely surrounded by trees. This site is already clear on the north side and will be surrounded by trees in the buffer on the south, east, and west. Under element number two, minimal use of wetlands, we've had a wetland delineation done, and there are no wetlands on the site. All the building sites will be above the 100-year floodplain, and the bioswales that Mr. Siniger will speak about in the stormwater pond will drain ultimately into the stormwater management system that's going to be designed for the project and that you'll see on the site plan. Under number three, preservation of natural and historic features. As I mentioned earlier, approximately 33% of the land in front of the parcel is already cleared, with the remaining two-thirds of the parcel being wooded. 40% of the wooded part of the property is going to be preserved. So the subdivision has been designed with consideration of the impacts on the native woodland. Each lot will also have selected clearing of native woodlands to preserve as many trees as possible on each lot. Under element four, preservation of open space, as I mentioned, there's going to be over a quarter of the parcel that's preserved for open space. Number five, minimization of the tree, vegetation, and soil removal. The final road design is going to incorporate a minimum movement of the soil to maintain the current grade to the largest extent possible. Six, under the ordinance, mentions the screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties. The applicant is going to be required under the ordinance to create the 30-foot buffer along the eastern boundary line to screen the subdivision from any neighboring agricultural farmland. Under seven, provision of water supply. The water supply will be from on-site wells, and I'm going to have Mr. Siniger speak to that a little bit later. Under eight, provision of sewage disposal. The sewage disposal is going to be by on-site septic systems that will be installed to DENREC specifications. I will note for the record that we've already had engineering done, soil analysis done. and the engineering indicates that there are absolutely no problems with the feasibility of installing the septic systems. We have not received, like the applicant before us, a feasibility letter from DENREC. We know that that will have to be received before the subdivision is ultimately approved, in the event that you approve it, and before they can go forward with it. Under number 9, prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. Now, this system is going to, or it's been designed with a system of bioswales that will force the surface water to be diverted into a designated stormwater management area, as shown on the preliminary site plan. These bioswales are, it's a fancy term, but basically it means that it's designed with best practices under the current state of technology for the vegetation to filter as much of the sediment out of the water as it moves from the high areas to the lower areas into the stormwater management pond. These are specifically designed to filter out those sediments from the water. Under 10, minimization of erosion and sedimentation, of changes in groundwater levels, increased rates of runoff. At this point, I'd like to have Mr. Siniger speak to that.
My name is Richard Siniger. I'm an engineer representing the client from Century Engineering that designed the subdivision. What Mr. Wideman was explaining about the stormwater system, the lots will ultimately drain to swales in front of the lots that will drain to a small bioretention basin that will hold the water for approximately 24 hours and then release it over, infiltrate into the ground. And in an event that there is a 100-year storm, there's a 25-foot wide emergency spillway that will drain over to the adjacent tax ditch. We have received Sussex Conservation approval, as Mr. Abbott had explained earlier. There will be no adverse impact on the runoff for the subdivision. The on-site septic systems were done by a company, JCM Environmental, and they were approved for feasibility, but not, we haven't received the final approval. They were done for preliminary, and they are noted on the plan and put in the proper designation where they're going to be ultimately designed. And then there will be on-site wells for the water, and they are within the 100-foot buffer that is required from the septic systems.
Under Factor 11, provision of safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. The interior road is going to be built to county standards with a macadam surface, and the cul-de-sac will provide ample turning area for any emergency vehicles. 12, effect on area property values. The subdivision is expected to have minimal effect on property values in the area while providing housing opportunities for individuals who can't afford to live, we'll say, east of Route 113. Under element 13, preservation and conservation of farmland, we don't believe that this is going to have any effect on the issue of farmland in Sussex County. Under 14, effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. As you can see, it's a 10-lot subdivision. It's expected that most purchasers will be families already living in Sussex County, so that the effect on any public facilities will be minimal. Under 15, effect on area roadways, the proposed entrance is visible, we believe, in both directions off of Route 18, and DelDOT did not find that this proposed subdivision would cause any significant impact on traffic in the area. Under 16, compatibility with other land use areas, the subdivision is located in AR1 district, along the main east-west highway in central Sussex County. And if you take a look at the aerial overview, you will see that it's largely a rural area that is also marked by single-family homes and farmland. So we don't believe that the subdivision is going to be so out of characteristic with the surrounding area to hopefully give you any concern that this is going to cause a significant change to the character of the area. Under element 17, effects on area waterways, the subdivision is not going to touch, meaning the tax ditch that is on the western side of the subdivision is not going to be touched during the build-out process, so we don't believe that it's going to significantly affect the area waterways. But Mr. Sinegar can probably speak more to that.
I just wanted to state that Brooks Cahill with the DENREC tax ditch, he has been notified, and those tax ditch easements that were recorded are the correct ones that are on the plan.
In summary, this area is already zoned AR1. Under the current comprehensive plan that you just passed a couple of days ago, and the zoning ordinance, I believe that we would be entitled to seek a maximum of 2 units per acre. We're seeking 0.7 units per acre. As I just set forth, we believe that the subdivision proposal complies with 99.9, and we also believe that it complies with the new comprehensive plan. I'll note that under the new comprehensive plan that you just recently adopted in a low-density area, their permitted uses are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. This subdivision represents a maximum of 10 single-family detached homes, so it is a permitted use in this area under your comprehensive plan. It's below the base density in the low-density area, and we hope you'll find that it has a minimal impact on the surrounding land uses. As Mr. Abbott pointed out, DLDOT, Sussex County Conservation, and the Fire Marshal's Office have all provided their approval for the plan, or at least no opposition to it. So we hope that you will find that it meets your requirements as well.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
You just want to pick on me all night long, don't you, sir?
Well, you know what? I guess it's just because you're at the right hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was there a reason why you reduced your number of lots from 13 to 10?
That was kind of based on the applicant wanting to try to preserve more woodland area and open space.
And how's this open space that you're proposing at the front and the back of the property to be utilized and maintained, and at whose expense?
I can answer that. There have been restrictive covenants that I drafted, and the Homeowners Association is going to be responsible for that. I think your attorney has already reviewed the provisions of the restrictive covenants and found that they meet your requirements for maintaining all the common areas.
And how close to any of the wetlands would you estimate your nearest lot line is?
Greater than 100 feet.
Greater than 100 feet from all wetlands?
Yes.
And earlier you mentioned about the easement to the tax ditch. Is that on your property or on the adjoining property?
It's both properties, and the setback lines are adhered on the rear of the properties to match up to the tax ditch easements.
Okay. So you're not intruding on any of the easements that are there?
No.
Okay. And has the wetlands delineation been done?
Yes.
And has that been sent through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineering?
Since there is no wetlands, it doesn't need it.
There's no wetlands?
No. Okay. Not on site.
On site at all?
That's a trick question.
Well, I was raised up in the TAC comments that I reviewed, Mr. Chairman.
I understand.
I have no questions this time.
Mr. Burton.
Why did you choose to put the open space in the front?
Well, one of the issues that for the open space was the when the feasibility study was done for the soils, that front lot area wasn't feasible for a lot. The soils was bad. So they just decided, it wasn't feasible for a lot, so they just put it into a open space. And it actually kind of makes, I think enhances the subdivision by having an open space in the front of the subdivision.
Would the outfall for the stormwater management fall in that ditch?
The tax ditch? Yes.
No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see in what you submitted, Mr. Weidman, you indicated a bus stop could be accounted for on your plan.
Yes. I mean, the applicants, I believe, have had children of their own, or the answer is yes. And so, actually, that was something that I believe they wanted to make sure they incorporated into any of the findings of fact that you made on the record if you were inclined to approve the subdivision.
And I would like to ask if you or the engineer had considered the cluster, would that have been an option for this? I see by the shape of the land that there could have been some difficulties there, but your engineer said that you were endeavoring to make some useful and meaningful open space and preservation of forest.
Yes, the cluster probably would have allowed for more lots, but when this was originally done and then we reduced the number of lots, it would have had to go back through the entire process and eat up a lot more time. As you're aware, the process takes a long time to go through and get approvals, and it would have had to go through that back through the entire approval process to get a cluster. And actually, the lot sizes would have been reduced, and they wanted to try to get, you know, bigger lots.
Did you go before plus?
No, it doesn't need to go to the plus process.
Doesn't need to go to plus. So what, just for the sake of argument, if you had considered the cluster, where would your delays have been? If you had looked at a different design, maybe clustering the lots in the middle, say, and creating an open space that would be more vital and more useful than perhaps what you have.
Well, the entire parcel is long and narrow, putting the lots together in the center the road has to come through the center of the property. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just the way the land is, and cluster, it wouldn't have allowed for the maximum use of the property for even open space. Even if you reduce the number of or increase the number of lots and or even kept the lots the same size and increase the open space, it still wouldn't have been the maximum use of the property. And to answer your question about the process, it would have had to go back through your entire process again to start over to be a cluster.
Did you consider this land has proximity to Ellendale State Forest and all? The applicant consider letting the Natural Heritage Department do any type of survey or inspection insofar as they could inventory any rare species or any?
I think that was done in the TAC submittal. So I think that was taken care of.
Mr. Smith, I believe that is in the file, and I think the survey indicated that it hadn't been surveyed in the past, but that there were no significant findings for this parcel of property.
Did they request, though, to be able to go out at some point and just make a perfunctory inspection?
Not that I'm aware of. I can look into that to see. I don't think that the applicant has any problem with that.
So your testimony would be that then it'd be fine for Edna Stetzner in that department to make a inspection recommendation.
Sure.
Any sidewalks proposed for within the proposed subdivision?
No. And the reason that is because of the site drainage and the swales in the front of the lots.
I think it was the sentiment that given the narrow shape of the parcel, you didn't want to put any more impervious material on the parcel than necessary.
And your response insofar as forest loss was what percentage of the project site?
I believe the site data sheet indicates that of the forested portion of the property, the proposed clearing would be 60% and the proposed preservation would be 40%.
Is that taken into account areas that would be normally cleared to accommodate the drain fields?
Oh, yes, it is.
And that's all the questions I have.
Okay, sir. Mr. Lang?
No question.
Mr. Couts?
One question. Who was your wetland consultant?
It was in-house through Century Engineering.
Is somebody that's qualified?
Yes. Yes.
Can you put the person's name on the record?
It's actually on the plan. I think her name's Catherine Robbins.
Anything else, Mr. Katz?
Mr. Wheatley, if I could have Ms. Hastings come up so I can go through the colloquy.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Hi, for the record, can you state your name?
Yes, my name is Charlotte Hastings.
Ms. Hastings, you've heard my presentation, and has my presentation represented your position as truthfully and as accurately as possible?
Yes, it has.
And do you incorporate my presentation into your comments as if set forth in the first instance?
Yes, that is correct.
I appreciate it, Mr. Wheatley.
You're welcome. Mr. Abbott, do you have any questions?
Is it the land to the west agriculture? The cornfield, I believe.
You mean to the east?
No, to the west. The lands that's now formerly of Ruth Briggs and Stanley King.
On the other side of the tax ditch?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the aerial. I thought it was farmland to the east, but
I believe there's cattle or horses to the east, and there's a cornfield to the west. If that's the case, you'd have to have a buffer there.
There's that tax ditch there. So how would you implement a forested buffer along with the on the tax ditch?
You'd have to be on your side of the tax ditch with a 30-foot buffer is what. And that's a fairly widely known requirement. I mean, the agricultural buffer between you, and it doesn't mean that land can't be in within a lot line or anything. But it does have to be vegetated and undisturbed.
It can be in the lot line, Mr. Chairman?
I think it can. It can be a lot.
That's why we advertised it for a waiver.
Right, because normally the buffer has to be outside the lot line.
Yeah,
the
lot
line. That's how it is on the east side.
Right. I'm sorry, say again?
Lot lines can't be.
Can't be. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. Okay, pardon me.
Looks like the maintenance side's on the west side of the
I know there's a maintenance on the tax ditch on both sides of that ditch.
That can probably overlap the buffer. I'm staying corrected and beg your pardon for my confusion. That's right. It cannot be in the lot lines. The buffer can't be in the lot lines. Well, that's a waiver. You can ask for a waiver, but.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they do have
but it's on the lot line. Shown on both sides.
But I think the tax ditch easement can probably be in the buffer, can it not?
Do we know, Lawrence?
I didn't think you can plant inside of a tax ditch buffer.
That's
easement.
Nice of a stormwater management pond.
Well, then if that's the case, you're looking at 30 feet beyond your tax ditch maintenance line.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the Conservation District is updating their buffer requirements, their standards dealing with tax ditches, and that is one specific issue that they're trying to address.
Yeah, although I think this is a relatively is fairly minimal, isn't it? 16 feet is usually about as narrow a maintenance area as you see. And I guess the question is, and that can it overlap? And apparently it can't, because it's got to be planted. It's got to be a forested or a vegetated buffer.
At this point, I don't remember what the solution was, but I know that they were addressing that particular issue, but I don't know what the resolution was.
That's
they're proposing some of the smaller easements to be wider and the wider easements to be smaller.
Smaller, yeah.
Trying to bring up a balance of the same.
Well, they're trying to come up with a standard, I think.
Standard number.
Yeah. Because you have them all, what, some of them, what, 250 feet?
Yeah, yeah. Some go 250 or plus.
Yeah.
And others go down to 11.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, that being the case, let's proceed, but be advised that there's a significant issue regarding the buffer that would have to be resolved before anything can be decided.
On the west side, near the tax ditch?
Wherever the cornfield is, whichever side the cornfield's on.
On the west side.
West
side.
West side. West side. Okay. Okay, good. Very well. Please let the record show that Mr. Burton had to exit the meeting, but the tape will be available for him to listen to the rest, and we'll certainly give him the opportunity to do that. Okay. Any more questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman. In the immediate vicinity of your proposed subdivision, are you aware of any other three-quarter acre lots? From all the aerial views I've seen, as well as my personal visit to the site, they all seem to be more like mini farms or you know.
Yeah.
You're right, Mr. Johnson. I mean, the aerial photographs speak for themselves. So the answer is no, not in the immediate vicinity.
And how close would you say is the nearest three-quarter acre lot or subdivision that contains three-quarter acres?
I couldn't answer that.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay. All right. We thank you. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. It looks like there might be one or two. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-72, Gregory A. and Charlotte L. Hastings? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-72? All right. We'll start right up front here with you, sir. Come up, give us your name, and you may have the floor. Unless you intend to read that whole book to
us. No, I didn't bring... Well, I might. You never know.
No, you won't either. Guaranteed. Guaranteed you won't. Go ahead.
Good evening. It's been a long night.
But you know what? You waited a long time.
Yes.
The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I first want to introduce myself. I'm Lewis Edward Briggs II. I live at 16358 Seashore Highway, Sussex County, Delaware. The reason I'm here is because I was drawn to this particular hearing as a result of a letter that was given to me by my neighbor. Result of this parcel of property described.
And how close do you live to the site?
I would say within 1,000 feet.
Okay.
Did I get notification? No, I did not. And when was it posted? It wasn't posted till yesterday. Okay.
Well, we're not going to have that.
I understand. I just want to make you aware of that. Okay.
Okay.
I have several questions and points to bring about the Hastings heritage. And the question is why? Why do we need to have this variance for the forested buffer and also the cul-de-sac? One of the things I asked myself when I learned about this forested buffer.
I think they testified that they weren't asking for the...
This has changed since we got the notification.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. So the notes I have prepared now are somewhat outdated. I realize that also.
But I'll skip down to the part that...
Okay. Well, let me ask. On the first testimony made here tonight was that there's no wetlands on the property. However, on the latest plat plan I have, number 4 states that there's wetlands on the property. So what's...
Do you want to show that to us? Or
may I?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Slide 4.
That's dated May 27th and was submitted to P&Z on the 28th of this month.
That's it.
Can Senator take a look at that?
Yeah, it actually does state it, but it could be
I think it possibly could just be an error in the notes, and I mean that's just a mistake.
Looks like the floodplain, but it is labeled wetlands. That's one reason why I asked the question.
Yeah, there you go.
There's all.
Well, anyway, go ahead.
Okay, may I continue?
Yeah.
Item 15 states that the entire active recreation area will be maintained by homeowner association, and I'll go into that later on my notes. Currently, there's 7.8 acres of wooded area on the 14-acre property, or 50% of it is wooded. Item 5 lists the, on the page 2 of the same document there, lists the property as AR1. The adjacent property is agriculture AR, and lists the property depicted also that we're speaking of tonight as residential. And I'm wondering how it can be both AR1 and residential.
Well, the AR1 is residential.
The intent is to remove 4.7 acres of woodland currently from the property, or 60% of the woods will be removed from the property, leaving about 3.1 acres, or 40% of the woods. Lot items 18 and 19 on the second page shows the site locations of the sewer and water. I draw your attention to a letter went through the package, and I want to thank Mr. Lankin and staff because they were very helpful in letting me look through the entire package. Date April 11th, 2007.
He's going to want to raise.
Say, pardon?
He's going to want to raise.
They need it. The letter was dated April 11th, 2007 from Mr. Lang, to Mr. Lang, from Mr. Jamie Authors of Natural Resources Conservation Service. It says the listed of the soil for septic field filters as very limited. The addition states further about the construction of urbanization of class on that land is somewhat of flooding and or seasonal wetness. You both have septic and construction issues at this time. Item 24 on the saved plot plan, page 2, speaks to the following. The area is not in the Sussex County growth zone. To me, that speaks volumes. Page 3, it is listed by a note on there from Jeff Shockley on the drawing he now has in his possession that, in fact, it is in the 100-year floodplain. And I want to bring your attention that as you look at the plot plan he has in his possession now, that lots 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10 or 70% of this parcel are located in a flood zone, as depicted on there. We may not think of the 100-year floodplain when it happened, but if you just go through our west and Midwest right now, think about the floods are happening out there. Or 2 years ago, the 25th of June, we had severe flooding in the Seaford area. The depiction also shows the new buffer tree line zone traversing numerous proposed septic and stormwater management areas of lots 2, 8, 9, and 10. The question out of that is how long before work, and this is on the plot plan, and how long is this before the buffer zone will be installed? The proposed distance discussion just had about the distance from the Leighton Vaughn tax ditch is 35 feet, according to the plot plan, on both sides. Now, I'm a layman reading the plot plan. I realize that. But finally, one of the issues I have is a traffic issue out there. Has not been brought up yet. The question is, why do you need to extend a cul-de-sac 500 yards, or 500 feet, excuse me? A cul-de-sac is defined as a minor street having but one end open to the other end and turnaround. However, a major subdivision is an extension of a proposed street or a new street. This is what it is. It's a major subdivision. It's not a minor subdivision. I, like many others, went online and looked at the Dell.com website and was able to do some traffic statistics and realized that from 2004 to 2007, how much traffic had increased in our community out there. I looked at three sites. It was Cooksbury Road, the northwest limits of Georgetown, which I will let you know they're flexible because the town limits have changed so drastically, and US 113 at the intersection of State Route 18, or 404 as referred to it. The number one site I picked out was Cooksbury Road, which was located at Cooksbury Church, and the way they receive these daily traffic counts is they lay down the rubber strips and pick the same sites over and over. The average daily traffic count has increased 9% at Cooksbury Road. It went from 8,134 vehicles in 2004 to 9,849 in 2007. Now, I will admit right now that the Northwest Georgetown limits, it dropped 591 vehicles. The reason is I think the challenge to Georgetown changed. However, in the area 113 and 404, it went up 1% or 149 more vehicles. In the section referring to this section 99 of the code, which you are all very well aware of, it refers to major arterial roadways. And I draw your attention to section E. Del Route 18 from its intersection with Del Route 404 to its intersection with US Route 113 is a major highway in this county. Now, I have some concerns. I'll wind up and be very brief with you, Val, okay? And I appreciate the time you're giving me. A couple things have come to my mind. As a homeowner association, in the package that I was able to review and I made copies of at the plant P&Z, they have a homeowner association with the annual dues of $100. Now, at 10 lots, that's $1,000 a year. Out of $1,000 a year, they're to maintain the stormwater management area, the recreation area, and also the streets, be it snow removal or repair of the streets. We've heard the streets are not being built to state specifications, but to county specifications. And according to one section in that caveat, it says that the an annual assessment can be made again to obtain more money to fund this. And I have made you aware of a letter that was received from, by Mr. Lank in regards to the soil and sewer concerns from Natural Resources Service Center for septic filter fields. And I want to summarize very briefly here. First off, does a need exist for any variances for this requirement? Is a necessary data up there? Does a need exist in our neighborhood? Does the proposal fit our community? The updated plot plan, which is to my right now, was submitted by P&Z on a date and notices that were sent out at the same time the adjoining the neighbors got their notice. In other words, the program, the plot he has there was signed off of by the engineer on the 27th of May and submitted to P&Z on the 28th. The notices was mailed out the 28th also. It hadn't been changed yet. The majority of lots being the 100-year flood plan. The buffer zone be depicted as traversing proposed sewer and stormwater management areas, in which he just made a comment that the areas they have on the plot plans is where they're going to be at. DelDOT and traffic concerns, the financial responsibility of the homeowner association. And for those reasons, the reasons be stated after me, I believe these variances should be denied tonight. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Did you have any questions for the applicant?
I didn't have any. I think you pretty much covered the questions.
Okay.
Some of the avenues they brought up.
You need to give him his drawings back.
Yeah, like
yeah, I was going to. I wanted to ask a couple questions. Where was the note that you said about the wetlands?
Number four, right there.
It yeah, says does not. Oh,
it doesn't.
Okay.
Okay, that is a mistake because it should read does not, and that's.
Is there other mistakes on the drawing?
I'm sorry.
That's something else going on. I apologize.
Now, first of all, you need to talk to me. You need to sit down. You're all right.
There was a couple. I wanted to answer some other questions.
No, if I want an answer from you, I'll ask you. If just hang on for a second. Young man. I'm going to get to you in a minute.
Okay? I apologize for that.
I'm going to let this guy finish here first, and then we're going to talk to you. Okay. Okay. Was there anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay. Good.
One trip, right?
Pretty much. But the way you get around that is if you got another question, you just whisper to your neighbor, send them up to ask that question.
Just kidding. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, young man, you come up here for a minute. And you want to respond to, we have some concerns, but obviously the language on the drawing is the language on the drawing. So
yes, I completely understand that. That's, mistakes do happen, and, that's, I'm completely sorry for the misunderstanding. That would have, before it got finalized and construction plans, that definitely, there's no wetlands that are even shown on the site plan that exists. Wetlands that are delineated would be on the site plan depicted as wetland flags.
Typically, that's true.
And the note that is on for the floodplain, there is no ordinance that says you can't have filled in the floodplain.
That's true.
The septic fields, they, yes, are in with the lot lines, but according to DENREC regulations, you are allowed, within the setback lines. With DENREC regulations, you are allowed, it's 10 feet away from the lot line.
Okay.
And once they do get built, they'll have a final septic design, and they will be designed according to DENREC regulations.
All right, sir. Okay, thank you. Okay, who's next over here? Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah, you can hand those up to Mr. Lank, and that'll save him a lot of writing.
My name is Richard Rockman. I live beside Louis. Mr. Chairman, we were like the same thing you said earlier. We were never known about this project till last week. I took off Monday. I went a 3-mile radius, a mile and a half one way, a mile and a half that way. I visited 29 homes. 29 of all homes were against this project, and 29 of them did not know nothing about this.
Okay, let me explain to you something. The commission has a responsibility to put a sign on the property and advertise it in the paper. As a courtesy, we notify people within, I think it's 200 feet.
200
within
feet.
200 feet. You'd be amazed the number of people that come up here and say, we never got that letter. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe the post office is that bad. However, it's not, we're not required to do that anyway. And you're here. You found out about it. Okay? So you're here.
Okay, so, and I feel ahead. Like I'm representing them 29 homes that I went to. Okay. Mike Johnson asked a question a while ago if there was any land around there that were three-quarter acres. Mike, I can tell you there's none. Everybody that I talked to has 5 acres or more. Rodney Smith just asked a question about 60-40, the woods. That's what the land is right now. It's 60% woods, it's 40% clear. So that's no change. The traffic. We've had four accidents, major accidents in front of our houses, which is 3 deaths. We've had traffic backed up 5.5 miles from Boulevard 4 to our driveways. We've had 3 times had to turn and go to Seaford to come around to get to Georgetown. And I've lived there 10 years. That's how bad traffic is on the road. We've all moved our mailboxes on our side of the road so we get our mail. If you ride anywhere right now, there's so many developments that's half done. There's homes that sit there right now that's over a year old that can't be sold. I'd like to know how these people think they can build on these lots and sell these houses. DelDOT, I'd like to know where all the water's going to go. Right now, we've had DelDOT out there 3 times. They have nowhere to run the water because they can't find the pipes. Especially in rainy season. We're talking about rainy season. This man says that this is not wetlands. Believe me, I've hunted this ground in rainy season. It is wetlands. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Arch, any questions? Anything we can find out for you? Or
huh?
Did you have any questions or anything?
No, this is all I had, and what I've listened, Louis covered the rest of it.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Going once. Oh, there we go. Okay, all the way in the back.
Commission, I'm Joe Piles. I own the property adjacent to this proposed development.
Yes, sir.
And I like farmland, like open land. I farm it. I raise livestock there. And I like the quiet nights. You're here to whippoorwill at night, but I don't want to hear a bunch of cars and music and, you know, boom boxes at night. Mm-hmm. That's why I moved there. In fact, when I bought the property from Baxter Farms, in our contract, indeed, it had in there that there would be farm sounds and noises and smells.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the right to farm legislation, and if these folks are successful, they're going to have to do the same thing.
Yep. Well, I just...
You all were there first. You were there first, so it's...
Well, I do raise... I got livestock and so forth there and farm it.
Well...
And I just want to put my 2 cents in.
Well, I appreciate that and very much.
I want to say something about the sign, too.
Okay, go ahead.
It was put on the wrong property, and I moved it on the right one.
Okay. Okay. Well, I never say that we were perfect.
No, I know.
But it always amazes me the number of people that
I'm just trying to help you guys out.
Holler at us about the notice. But you're here. You found out about it one way or another, you know. Okay. I mean, we're doing the best we can with what we got to work with. Okay.
I'll just help me out, you know.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. And I really think maybe you should send the county a bill for that. You know
what? Well, I was thinking that way.
Well, you might, of course, to get it changed, our loved one would want to raise our property taxes, and there we are. So. But anyway, I thank you, and if it was misposted, we certainly apologize for that, and appreciate the fact that you took the initiative to move it for us.
Oh, yeah.
So we thank you.
All right.
Okay, who else? Gosh, you've all waited all this time. Doesn't somebody else want to talk? All right. Well, if you're going to talk, you got to come up here. You got to come up, give your name, tell me what's your.
I own the property.
No. Give me your name first.
Ernest Hossie.
Okay, now.
On the property immediately to the east.
Okay.
Of this property, I have 4 acres.
Okay.
And I was of the impression that when I saw the notice of what they were going to discuss, that they weren't going to have any buffer zones, and I was wondering how that could be.
Well, apparently we're learning that it can't be.
That's why I say it. That's why I'm here. Otherwise, okay. I wasted the night.
Well, I appreciate
because you're going to have buffers.
Yeah, then you have to admit what you saw tonight was a lot better than anything you could watch on TV. But
I don't know. I was here. I was here a few months ago, and I was. Yeah.
But obviously there is an issue with the buffers, and that will definitely have to be addressed.
Yeah. Okay, and I will have to agree. Getting out of that road there. Uh-huh. As a curve, it's pretty dangerous on a weekend with the beach traffic. It's
okay.
It's pretty bad.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir, in the blue shirt.
My name is Robert Lambden. I live close to these folks, not right to the 1,000 feet or so, but
okay.
My concern is the traffic.
Uh-huh.
And 18, I live right off Cokesbury Church
mm-hmm.
Road, and coming out to Cokesbury Church, getting on 18 is really terrific traffic. And even with 7 more homes or whatever it is, 11 more homes, it puts that much more on the highways. Del Dot may know what they're saying, but they don't live there. And I must say, I always, Thursday night, I always look at, are you smarter than a fifth grader? And this group is really something to see tonight. It's been interesting, well, I must say. And I think you do a great job, but...
Well, but we still might not be smarter than a fifth grader.
Well, you ever see that show?
Yes, sir.
It is pretty good.
Well, reruns, because I'm always here on Thursday night.
That's all I got to say.
Thank okay, you. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak?
I'm not going to rebut anything. The only thing I wanted to ask you was, if there's an issue with the buffer on the west side, I just wanted some guidance on how you want us to deal with that. I mean,
well, not sure you can under your current application. That's and I don't know the answer to that. Just sitting here, and I think we're going to have to refer that matter to council, who's probably going to refer it to our regular council, but and find out what. Where we are with that. Mr. Lank, do you have any?
I would have to, there's a portion of the site that's already wooded. So that would have to be preserved as a buffer. And then there's a portion on the front, 3 or 4 lots that's presently in tillage or not.
Yeah, my question is.
It'll have to be designated.
At what point, though, I mean, how much modification in an existing application can you do?
Well, that's what we're going to look at and establish where the physical boundary of the tax ditch easement is. And can that tax ditch easement be included as part of the buffer? If it is, you won't have any buffer unless it goes, it's inset into the property.
Well, it's, I know.
That's what we're going to look at.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that helps you at all, but the bottom line is we don't know. And we'll perhaps we'll keep the record open so we can do something. Or
well, that's what I was going to wonder, if we could keep the record open for 30 days or so.
Well, here's the issue with all of this. I don't feel that we can, if we do that, we have to give sufficient time for all these folks to take a look at it, see it, comment on it, if we feel like we can do it within the confines of this application, then I'm sure we can make some kind of arrangement. Otherwise, you could be looking at having to rehear it.
Rehear it.
You know,
submitting a revised site plan.
Which is well, there may be other ways you can deal with that. I don't know if you could withdraw it. If it's if the application stands as it is and it's denied, then you can't come back for a year.
Right. My concern, though, is that if you're going to submit it to council, and we would have to submit
go to
revised.
Council. This one stops right here.
No, I'm sorry. Your attorney.
Okay. Different council. We're talking about county council. I'm sorry.
Now, if you're going to submit it to your attorney, and we had to submit a revised site plan, we would need some guidance, I guess, in the form of a written opinion or letter memorandum to tell us how you're interpreting the buffer requirement.
Well, agreed, and I think that's what we're saying. We're going to have to get that. We're going to have to get that opinion. My concern is for these folks. I mean, I'm concerned about all of you, but my concern in this instance is for these folks who have an interest and a concern about what's happening out there, is that they've sat here, they've seen one presentation, and they should have the right to comment on whatever you end up proposing, is my point, you know, and I'm not sure the best way to do that. We have done it in the past where we've held the record open. We've let a revision be submitted. We've allowed 30 days for people to come and look at it. But admittedly, that's a lot more cumbersome of a process for the public than just having a rehearing would be. Now, it could be that we could have asked to have it expedited, which means you wouldn't have to wait another bazillion months or something.
And I think that's fair. However, I've got to believe that this issue's come up before. So,
well, I'm going to tell you flat out what I feel about it, okay? And no disrespect to the young man that's here this evening, but your engineer messed up. He should have gone out there and known that that was a farm field, should have known that he was going to have a buffer, and should have designed something for it, but that's not what they did. And so now we're stuck with something that we know isn't right. And I mean, that doesn't conform to the ordinance. There's no way that's going to pass. Okay, so this is the jam you're in. Okay, you've submitted an application that does not conform to the ordinance.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm just trying to understand what kind of interpretation we would get from
council.
Well,
the interpretation you would get, I'm just suggesting that what you would get would be that you would have to go through the process again. Because I don't know any other remedy. The one strategy in that instance would be, never mind, because I'm not supposed to give you advice. But in the past, people have withdrawn things and resubmitted
before you make a decision.
You know, yes. So, but I would prefer to get an opinion from our council before we do anything, frankly. But
fair enough. I appreciate that.
And I don't know any other way to tell you that, and look, mistakes happen all the time. This is a firm that I know has been around for a long time. Somebody made a mistake and overlooked something, and unfortunately, we don't have the means to correct that. And once they get into it, they may find that's a more difficult site than they realized. That's all I can tell you. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir. You're welcome. Does anybody else on the commission have any questions?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to hear again about the septic feasibility, where that stands.
That was submitted to DENREC and hasn't been approved yet, but it was submitted. It was done by JCM Environmental.
And did DelDOT make any recommendations on shoulder improvements?
The entrance was already approved.
Everything was good.
Yes, the entrance plans are approved by Mark Cote of DelDOT, and the trips that are generated for this small of a site is minimal compared to the traffic that is on the road existing. The trips that are generated for the number of houses that are going to be here is less than 20 trips a day. It's very minimal, if not less than that. I don't know the exact numbers because I didn't calculate. I wasn't the engineer that calculated the traffic counts for it, but the it's very minimal. I know that they've stated earlier that the
to answer my question, you're saying the entrance is approved.
Yes, DelDOT has approved the entrance.
Make recommendations to you as far as any lane widening or any shoulder improvements.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Okay, any other questions on the commission? One trip to a customer, sir. I'm sorry. We're what's that?
I know.
Sorry. But anything else? Okay. Anyone who hasn't spoken want to speak? Okay. All right. Going once, twice. All right, one more. Come on.
I just have one question.
You got to come up here and tell us your name, and then you can ask your question, and we'll get you an answer if we can.
Okay. This may not. You may shut me down, but this is Sandy
right.
Rockman. I live at 16392 Seashore
yeah.
Highway. We have also heard, and I don't have a confirmation right this second, but right down the road from us, maybe about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles, there's also been said that there's going to be a 450 home development.
You're right. I'm going to shut you down.
Okay. Just want to bring it up.
I'm sorry. We're welcome to remain afterwards.
Okay.
You might see somebody on the staff tomorrow or something, but it's really not the subject of this public
okay.
hearing, and we can't
comment.
We can't comment on it. So, yeah, as far as we know, it has nothing to do with anything right now. Okay, anything else, gentlemen? Okay, there being no other questions, we'll close the public hearing. You may remain with us to see if we make any kind of decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Either way, we thank you for being here.
And gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening.